Let us rise. Grace to you and peace from God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, speak to us and let it be known to all that we are your servants and that you are the Lord God. Preserve our hearts and lives in your care always. Amen. The congregation may be seated. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, dear fellow redeemed, the very first question that the Lord asks in our text is, what are you doing here, Elijah? Before we enter into our text, just what was Elijah doing here? Where was he and why? Elijah had wandered far south of Israel, and yes, I'm not talking about the little baby Elijah. I should probably make this clear. I'm not talking about your brother. But there was a man, a prophet named Elijah in the Old Testament who worked and served the Lord. And your brother's named after this prophet. This prophet Elijah had wandered far south of Israel. He finds himself at Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, many days' journey into the desert, far south of his people and his ministry. This Elijah had fallen into utter despair. Today we would likely term this clinical depression. The land of Israel has become exceedingly wicked. A king named Ahab and his queen Jezebel had led the people into idolatry to serve a god named Baal. Even after God performs great wonders for the people, both pronouncing a drought on the land and removing it, causing fire to come down from heaven, having the prophets of Baal executed. Even after all this, Ahab and Jezebel still conspire to take Elijah's life. He says, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." We consider this Elijah, a prophet of God, alone, wandering. As we open up our text and hear the still small voice that comes to him. From 1 Kings chapter 19. "And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' So he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.' Then he said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rock in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.' Then the Lord said to him, Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he departed from there, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left his oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, Go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah, and there became his servant. This is the word of the Lord. Have you ever had so much noise and confusion going on around you that you just can't concentrate? Perhaps the kids are screaming, or the baby is crying. Perhaps the neighbors are having a party and their music is so loud that you can't go to sleep. Or perhaps you just have so many thoughts in your head, so much stress that you can't focus on the task that's right in front of you. Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. This was the same mountain where the Ten Commandments were given, Mount Sinai. This was the same God that spoke to Moses face to face. This was the same glory that is revealed as Elijah and now we ourselves stand before God's presence. What sort of noise is going on in your life? What sort of confusion that distracts you? Stress and sin? It seems we can't get anything accomplished. In our gospel reading, Jesus lays before us an impossible task. He says, No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. How many times have we looked back? How many times have we wanted to take that small glance to see what life would be like? If I wasn't married, if I didn't have this job right now, if I didn't have this crisis in my life, if I wasn't a Christian, what would things be like? A yoke of oxen requires the utmost attention to keep it on a steady course. The oxen of our flesh will not be bridled. We read in our epistle reading how the flesh wars against the spirit, and they're contrary to one another, so that you don't do the things that you want to do. The works of the flesh are evident, and those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Your flesh and the world are raising their voices. They're telling you how your life should be or who you should be. These war against the spirit by trying to rationalize why it's okay to look back, why it's okay to lie, why it's okay to continue in sexual sins, why it's okay to continue in a lifestyle that contradicts God's word. God asked the question this morning to you, why are you here? The rock is torn in pieces. The earthquake shakes beneath our feet, and the fire burns with the fury of hell. All this violence, all this terror, why is God sending Elijah and you this vision? He wants to get your attention. He wants to silence the world, Satan, and your flesh. As Paul writes in Romans 3, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Where is the Lord? Does he mean to leave us in silence and terror as we look at the times we've sinned in our life? We turn to our text, verse 11. And the Lord passed by, but the Lord was not in the wind, the Lord was not in the earthquake, the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. We can think of the sudden tragedies that we witness in the world around us as a reason to bring us to silence. Whether it's tornadoes ripping through communities, fires that rage through households in a matter of minutes, or the crisis that leaves your life in pieces. The Lord was not in them. Literally, after the fire, a gentle whisper. This is where God now reveals himself. Now that all has fallen silent, now that our sins have been exposed, God speaks. In fact, a gentle whisper is what it literally says. He whispers to you in the voice of the gospel. When no one else would put their hand to the plow, Jesus set his face for Jerusalem. He did not look back. He did not question what God had asked of him. He was truly alone in a way that Elijah never experienced, in a way that you will never experience. Jesus put his hand to the plow in perfect love, plowing through the law, fulfilling it in ways that we could never have hoped to. He suffered the fire of hell that we deserve, and that cross now guarantees you the forgiveness of your sins. We read in Psalm 2, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them. I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Jesus is God's Son, who reigns over all the world and who has conquered your every sin. The world is so busy raging about and shouting that it doesn't hear this soft voice that comes to you today. A whisper, which we would have never heard had God not silenced us with the law, to grab our attention with the threats, and to say, as he says in Isaiah 1, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. This brings your flesh now to silence. We read in our epistle reading, those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Your sinful flesh is dead on the cross. Satan, the accuser, has been brought to silence. The law which accuses you has been silenced. God's work in Christ is irrevocable. So come out of the cave and hear God's voice. Elijah had labored fervently for the people of Israel. What were the results? Where was the visible, tangible reward? He says, I alone am left and they seek my life. Similar to the state of Israel in Elijah's day, it seems the voices of the world around us seem to drown out this still small voice. This last week, if you turned on the news or read a paper, you probably heard about the commotion. At the Supreme Court, they rejoice over federal legislation that approves of same-sex marriage. in Texas. They rejoice over a law that would have virtually outlawed abortion. Not that it passed, but that it failed. They rejoice that innocent lives are continue to be legally taken. How long will it be before such persecution reaches your life, your church, your family? Or maybe it already has. God once again calls us to be silent. He says in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." In the midst of all the commotion, God remains exalted. And we have reason to give thanks. We rejoice because as we gather here today, we know there is still a remnant. Let us not forget the promise of God in Isaiah 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. In every nation, in every denomination where the gospel is being heard, there are believers. God is reserving those who do not bow the knee to sin. Even unto the end, no matter how bad things get for Christians, God will continue to have his voice be present in your life, to care for you, to prosper those whom he's reserved. Paul also says in Romans 11, "I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel? But what does it say? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal." So what are you doing here today? The mission of the church is not to make the biggest noise or the biggest display of power. Martin Luther commented on this text saying, "This is adequate evidence that size does not make a church. Nor dare one continue how holy its origin is or who its ancestors are or what they have in their possession and have received from God. It is not size that matters to God, but substance. It is the still small voice that brings you here today. Church growth does not exist apart from that voice, true church growth. It's unseen because it's reserved by faith. When Elijah was all alone, God whispers, there are yet 7,000 in Israel. So we are called to remember and unite in this voice of truth. Let us not despair. Let us not look at the size of our congregation. Rather, let us look to the substance. Let's bring the world to silence as we whisper that still small voice again. We're looking forward to this Bible seminar that we're putting on at the public library. Again, to have that voice be heard. It is not the right politician or the right legislation that is going to turn the world to the truth. It is going to be the still small voice which moves us to love God. We pray then that the voices of Satan would be silenced and this voice would be heard from the mountaintop. We pray that God would bless the flyers that we're sending out for our seminar, for our VBS in the coming month, that more would open their ear to this whisper. Come out of the cave and stand before the presence of God. Who knows how God would use you to help this pastor put the plow to the field? According to the grace which God alone supplies, because this is an impossible task to manage. Only God can govern and direct us by his Spirit. Only his voice will labor through you. the still small voice of God. Amen.